This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu ala al-Mab'uthi Rahmatan lil Alameen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Today is the first in this series on Paradise and Jannah. On Paradise and Jannah and everything that's related to it. This is one of the most comprehensive books that have been written in Arabic on this subject. I will go through a bit later on the various different chapters, the different subjects, the different aspects of Jannah that Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah goes through. Our coverage of this book is not going to be word for word, because that will take a very long time, and many of them are academic discussions. So for example, he has an academic discussion, very detailed one, on the different opinions related to whether the Jannah that Adam alayhi salam stayed in was in the heavens, the Jannah that everybody is going to eventually, believers will eventually go to, meaning the perpetual and permanent paradise, or it was a different place that was in this earth, or in the heavens but different to that one. So there's this long discussion where he provides the evidences from both sides. While it's an interesting discussion, but it's too academic. So that's some of the things like this will be missing out. Obviously, you'll have to wait before we get to the really juicy things of the actual description of Jannah and all of the blessings in there. But inshallah, it's definitely worth waiting for. We have to wait anyway. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the benefit of this. The reason I want to cover this is because humans have reactions. Humans are based on emotions and reactions. And both of these things, reactions, emotions, in terms of being encouraged by aspects of pleasure. Details of pleasure, and being warned and frightened by things which are to be frightened of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses both of these things, targhib and tarhib, in the Quran. He persuades, he dissuades, uses these examples. Paradise is one of the greatest senses of pleasure that we can ever know, and its description is, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, something that no eye has seen, no ear has ever heard the description of. And in fact, it's something that could never occur to anybody in terms of the actual description. It's going to be beyond anything. That's how humans are. Doors, or even in our life, you'll see that a certain experience that we've never had before, when we experience it, it opens up a whole different avenue of our life. It provides an understanding of a new aspect of desire that we didn't know it existed. Some of these things are, for example, when a person gets married, just that one aspect. Imam Ghazali says the pleasure of sexual intercourse is a reminder of Jannah. That if you want to get any idea of the pleasures of Jannah, then the experience of that, of sexual intercourse, that it gives you some idea. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these ideas. So paradise is supposed to be beyond any of these things. So by mentioning and studying all of these different verses in the Quran and the ahadith, and mashallah, Ibn al-Qayyim is a master in bringing all of these things together. His work is generally very comprehensive. He, in this book, has covered this very, very, very well. Just a bit about Ibn al-Qayyim, I'll maybe do more some other time. But Ibn al-Qayyim is from Damascus. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. There's Ibn al-Jawzi, who's from Baghdad, who was before him. He's different. He was also a prolific writer. He was also Hanbali, and this one is also Hanbali. But this one's a Damascus scholar from Sham. His name is Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. He's probably the primary student of Ibn Taymiyyah. And probably the one who carried his thoughts forward as well. So while he's to be greatly respected and honored for the majority of his work, Unfortunately, when it comes to certain aqidah issues, there are contentions about his and Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, their perspective on this. However, that is not that shouldn't play too much a part in our discussions. We're going to be speaking about his coverage of the Quran and the Sunnah and the other descriptions of paradise, inshaAllah. So he starts off in his long introduction. He starts off by saying that when the people who have been divinely guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they came to realize what has been created for them through the Quran and Sunnah, it's been told why they were created. Why has a person been created? Why has Allah brought them in this world? When they figured this out, paradise doesn't mean anything if a person doesn't understand why they've been created in this world. The whole point of paradise is only for those who've understood the purpose of this life, why Allah has created anybody in this world. So when they figured this out, then they raise their heads and they realize that there is a paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for them. So then they started preparing for this paradise. The more the description of this paradise, the more their preparation. And when they realize that there is a straight path to this paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set in this world, they started to follow this path. They tried to remain as steadfast on this path as possible. This is what you call the way of istiqamah. And they discovered that the greatest deception or the greatest loss of profit, meaning the worst deal that you could make in this world, is if you sell this Jannah for immediate temporary pleasures of this world. These are the people who've discovered that. They've realized that if we sell Jannah for immediate temporary pleasures that are haram pleasures, then we have sold this great paradise and this great Jannah. They've realized that this will be the biggest loss that they would make in any kind of deal whatsoever. Because it is selling that which your eye has not seen. That's where the fitna comes about. That's where the difficulty with this deal is. You see many deals in this world. The best deals are those that you don't really know what you're going to make, except that you don't really know how it works. You're just told that there's this much profit at the end of it, but you're never told how it works. You have to trust, or maybe you don't know who the person is that's going to be managing this deal. It's just based on trust you have to take it. Now, some of these deals are true and they're very good and they're accurate. And if you, those who take that risk do benefit. But the majority of these deals of the world are clearly just a successive series of deceptions, as we know. You get them all the time. So if a person is going to look at it in that perspective, that, oh, I'd rather go for that which is safer, which I can see the immediate pleasure in, and I'm going to miss out this great Jannah that is just promises. I can't see any of it. I can't experience any of it. Can't see an example of it. Then this is why there's such a difficulty in people getting to paradise. Because basically what they're doing is they're selling off what they haven't seen. They've got a place there by the fact that they have La ilaha illallah in their hearts. So they've got a place which they have not seen, their ears have not heard, and the description of it has not even occurred to their hearts. In fi abadin la yazul, in a permanence that will never end. That is their abode there. Wala yanfad, it is not something that will ever wither away or become worn or old by using it. Anything in this world becomes old by usage. Whereas in Jannah, that's not the case. Nothing will become worn by it. But for them, innama huwa adghathu ahlam. It just seems like these stray thoughts that come about when a person is sleeping. Or ka tayfin zara fil manam. It's just this wondrous scene that you see in dreams only. Just full of promises and things of that nature. So they sell it off. That's why he says, "Faya ajaban min safihin fi surati hakimin." So the people, they think they're very wise by selling this Jannat off for immediate pleasures of this world. This man is a foolish man in the form and the appearance of a wise man. وَمَعْتُوهٍ فِي مِسْلَاخِ عَاقِلٍ. This is a stupid person who appears to be clever and intelligent. Who آثر الحظ الفاني الخسيس على الحظ الباقي النفيس. Who has given preference to just a small, mean, lowly pleasure of this world for something that will eternally live forever and that is so excellent in the hereafter. وَبَاعَ جَنَّةً عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He has just sold his paradise whose length and breadth is the heavens and the earth. بِسِجْنٍ ضَيِّقٍ بَيْنَ أَرْبَابِ الْعَاهَاتِ. For this small prison of this world, between all of these people who have so many problems. وَمَسَاكِنَ الطَّيِّبَةِ فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. And he's also sold out these great, excellent, beautiful abodes in these beautiful gardens of Eden, beneath which rivers flow. He sold that for these short-lived, tight, restricted areas which will eventually become desolate. وَأَبْكَارٌ عُرُبًا أَتْرَابًا. He's also sold these virgins. They have to, that discussion has to come, the virgins of the hereafter, right? Who would be like pearls and rubies. He sold that for these simple, dirty, filthy pleasures of this world. For those pure beings, those pure hurul ain that will live forever and that will constantly give pleasure, he has sold that for these dirty, haram, short-lived enjoyments. He has sold those hurul ain who are restricted only for him, special in their dwellings. For those that go around and sleep with one and all. This is the comparison he's giving. وَأَنْهَارًا مِّنْ خَمْرٍ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ. He's also sold all those rivers of that pure wine that will be a source of immense pleasure and no intoxication for those who drink it there. He sold that for this lowly wine which takes away your mind. That then destroys your dunya and akhirah because of it. He then has sold another thing. He has sold وَسِمَاءَ الْخِطَابِ مِنَ الرَّحْمَانِ. He has just sold a special address that will come from the Most Merciful One in his beautiful voice, however that will be. بِسِمَاءِ الْمَعَازِفِ وَالْغِنَاءِ وَالْأَلْحَانِ. By listening to the lowly instruments of this world. This is the kind of trade he's doing. والجلوس على منابر اللؤلؤ والياقوت والزبرجد يوم المزيد بالجلوس في مجالس الفسوق مع كل شيطان مريد. He's also sold these great pulpits and stages and thrones of pearls and rubies and emeralds and sapphires on the day which he will get even more than that by sitting in the gatherings where every form of shaitan comes in and just engages in redundant discussions. وَنِدَاءَ الْمُنَادِي يَا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ إِنَّ لَكُمْ أَن تَنَعَمُوا فَلَا تَيْأَسُوا تَحْيَوْا فَلَا تَمُوتُوا. He's also وَتُقِيمُوا فَلَا تَضْعَنُوا وَتَشُبُّوا فَلَا تَهْرِمُوا بِغِنَاءِ الْمُغَنِّينَ. And he's sold the special status on the special address on the day of judgment, special announcement on the day of judgment, which will be said to the people of Jannah. Now you have full rights to enjoy and never lose hope, to remain alive and never to die, and to remain upright and living and never have any sorts of problems. And to remain ever young and never to become old. He sold all of that for just some loose pleasures of this world. Now he says that the problem is that you can't feel the sense of this loss in this world. The sense of this loss generally will be felt most strongly on the Day of Judgment. And then he will realize the foolishness of his trade on a day when on a day of great loss. إِذَا حُشِرَ الْمُتَّقُونَ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ وَفْدًا. When the righteous ones will be congregated together or taken as a delegations to their Lord, to the Rahman, to the Most Merciful One. وَسِيقَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ وِرْدًا. Whereas the transgressors will be driven to the hellfire. وَنَادَ الْمُنَادِي عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِ الْأَشْهَادِ لَيَعْلَمَنَّ أَهْلُ الْمَوْقِفِ مَنْ أَوْلَىٰ بِالْقَرَمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ الْعِبَادِ. When an announcer will announce in front of all that the people who are standing here should know who is most entitled to show honor, who's most entitled to be shown honor from among all of creation. If only the person knew what will gladden his eyes on the Day of Judgment, then he would never have turned his gaze away from it. So the people who will be successful on that day will be the people who will be in the orchards enjoying themselves. And they will be enjoying themselves seated on the high thrones and upon the beautiful carpets that will be made of silk and brocade, leaning on these great pillows, and they will be enjoying themselves with the fruits of Jannah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, for these will be the ones brought nearest to Allah in gardens of bliss. Many from the past and a few from later generations, on couches of well-woven cloth, they will sit facing each other. Everlasting youth will go around among them with glasses and cups of pure drink that causes no headache or intoxication. It's pleasure minus the intoxicant. You can drink as you will. There's no drinking limit there. You can drink as you wish, as much as you want. So no headache, no intoxication. There will be any fruit that they choose, the meat of any bird that they like, and the beautiful companions like hidden pearls, a reward for what they used to do. They will hear no idle or sinful talk there, only clean and wholesome speech. يَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ بِأَكْوَابٍ وَأَبَارِيقَ وَكَأْسٍ مِّن مَعِينٍ لَا يُصَدَّعُونَ عَنْهَا وَلَا يُنْزِفُونَ وَفَاكِهَةٍ مِّمَّا يَدَخَيِّرُونَ. These are the fruits. وَلَحْمِ الطَّيْرٍ مِّمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ. Any bird that they wish. وَحُورٌ عِينٌ كَأَمْثَالِ اللُّؤْلُؤِ الْمَكْنُونِ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. This is a reward for what they used to do in this world. يُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالصِّحَافٍ مِّن ذَهَبٍ وَأَكْوَابٍ. Gold and other forms of cups. فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسِ. Whatever they will of their heartfelt desires will be found in these. وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ. Not just the taste, but تَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ. The eye itself. The eye itself will see the pleasure. You see the word fragrance. There's the word fragrance and there's the word odor. Right? The word fragrance is a general term for any kind of good smell. The word odor, like the odor of coffee in a coffee shop, is when you smell it while also getting a feel for it, the taste and so on and so forth. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, انظروا إلى ثمره إذا أثمر وينعي. Look at these fruits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Look at these fruits when they give flower and when they become ripe. Allah is telling us to look at the fruits, this vegetation and fruits and how He creates them. I mean, if you want to just go on to Google, right, or any search engine for that matter, and just look for succulent fruits, and believe me, that will increase your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Jannah. Because the amazing colors, the amazing textures, the amazing designs, the amazing taste, which, you know, obviously you can't do online, right? You'd have to get these things afterwards, hopefully. That's in the world. If you just want to look at the variety of fruit from around the world, just on one page, that should give you a sense of what you will get in Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands that human beings are not just simple creatures. We're very complex. We also live by our senses in terms of how we look. Then Allah is saying that that's all what you call art from the sense, the art, right, of sight, the beauty. That's why Allah created all of these wonderful fruits with different textures, different designs, different descriptions and different forms. how he coats each one of them in a cover. And you sometimes wonder when you open it up, it's still got another, a date is such a simple fruit. And yet when you open it up, it has a covering inside it, right? Which goes around the seed. Then it has, a small kind of thread within the split of the seed itself. Why couldn't he just have made the dates without seeds? There's a reason for all of these things. So immaculate, so intricate. Just take an orange for that matter, where you look at each one of those small particles of an orange that are shaped in this slice with covering over it. Then they are all placed together. And then there's another covering over that. Then there's the skin on top of that. So elaborate, so much description. And every single fruit is different. Every single fruit is different. And this is what you will get in Jannah. So that's why if you just do this search and you look for all of these, you just look at all of these wonders, it'll just make your mouth water. So can you then imagine in Jannah? So it won't be just the taste. It will also please your sight as well. وَتَلَذُّ الْعَيُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And you know, this is the way this is said in the Quran. It's so wonderful because, you know, when you start enjoying yourself in this world, what that means is you've gone somewhere and you've rented a really nice hotel, or you've gone for a holiday, and there are certain things that are, mashallah, very pleasurable. At the back of your mind, you know that this is going to end, because you've only paid for 3 days, right? You know that, let me enjoy it, it's only 3 days, right? Or that I'm going to get tired of it. We also have that idea in mind, because humans, we get bored of things. Even the most pleasurable thing, we'll get bored of it. So what we will think is 3 days, 5 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, at the end of it, I have to pay a lot of money for this, and eventually this is going to end. However, in Jannah, it's not going to be like that. It's not even something you can fathom, because we're not used to that kind of thought. We're not used to the thought of permanence. We're not used to the thought of permanence. We know at the back of our minds each time that these things are going to come to an end, because every day something breaks. Something expires. Something goes wrong. Something happens. It's just, we're so used to that. So can you imagine this? That's why Allah says, وَأَنْتُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And I'm telling you all of this, this is not temporary. Once you're in there, you're in. There's no mistake. You're not going to be sent there by any kind of mistake. You won't ever be an error. You will be there for the right reasons if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be in there. And then you will be in there forever. So then he says, تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ نُودِيَ عَلَيْهَا فِي سُوقِ الْكَسَادِ فَمَا قَلَّبَ وَلَسْتَامَ إِلَّا أَفْرَادٌ مِّنَ الْعِبَادِ فَوَا عَجَبًا لَهَا كَيْفَ نَامَ طَالِبُهَا. So what surprise then that people who want this are still sleeping. They're still sleeping. وَكَيْفَ لَمْ يَسْمَحْ بِمَهْرِهَا خَاطِبُهَا وَكَيْفَ طَابَ الْعَيْشِ فِي هَذَا الدَّارِ بَعْدَ سِمَاءِ أَخْبَارِهَا. How can you enjoy life in this world after you've seen after you've heard the description of that world? How can that be the case? وَكَيْفَ قَرَّ لِلْمُشْتَاقِ الْقَرَارِ. How can you then be satisfied? For the one who desires that hereafter, how will you be satisfied with anything else? دُونَ مُعَانَقَةِ أَبْكَارِهَا وَكَيْفَ قَرَّ دُونَهَا أَعْيُنَ الْمُشْتَاقِينَ. How will anything else gladden your sight? وَكَيْفَ صَبَرَتْ عَنْهَا أَنفُسُ الْمُوقِنِينَ. Those who have firm conviction in it, how can their nafs find any sabr and patience? وَكَيْفَ صَدَفَتْ عَنْهَا قُلُوبُ أَكْثَرُ الْعَالِمِينَ وَبِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ تَعَوَّضَتْ عَنْهَا نُفُوسُ الْمُعْرِضِينَ. But then he's asking in surprise, and what is it that is preventing the people from really working towards that? That is the main question. So then he says in describing the book and his reason, he says, هَذَا كِتَابٌ اِجْتَهَدْتُ فِي جَمْعِهِ وَتَرْتِيبِهِ وَتَفْصِيلِهِ وَتَبْوِيبِهِ. This is a book which I have placed all efforts, which I've expended all efforts in compiling together and in organizing in this way and in clarifying its descriptions and in chapterizing it. This, he says, is food for thought. This is for those who want this Jannah, they're going to find much substance in this book. مُحَرِّكٌ لِلْقُلُوبِ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مَطْلُوبٍ. This is going to move your hearts This is going to move your hearts to want to get to your end. Subhanallah. He's saying basically that once you go through this book, it should help you to hope for quick delivery from this world. وَحَادٍ لِلنُّفُوسِ إِلَى مُجَاوَرَةِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ حَادٍ. The word he uses to, I'm gonna discuss the title in a while. The word he uses is حَادٍ. This comes from what they had is they had these special people who were always taken on long journeys. They knew how to spur camels on with their voice. They knew the exact kind of tone and tune to use, and they would spur the camels to keep moving. They, in Urdu, they call them these Hudi Khan, right? Like a Nath Khan, so they call them Hudi Khan, right? And they used to do their job so well that once the Prophet ﷺ said to Anjasha, he said, take it easy. Be careful of the delicate glass or glasses. And one of the explanations of this is to say that the women who were in the camp, they were becoming a bit enamored by his voice. So he says, take it easy. I know you're doing it for the camels, but it's having some other, maybe some, having some other effects. That's how good these people were. And I believe in our Dars on Shama'il, on the Qasida Burda, I once gave you an example of a story of how powerful these people were. How powerful these people were, where somebody tested one of these individuals and the effects that it had. It's in the Qasida Burda Dars. So that's what you call the Hadi. Not Hadi. Hadi means the guide. This is Hadi. So this is something that will spur your nufus, your lower selves, your nafs, ila mujawara, so that you will want to be in the company of al-malikul quddus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mutamatti'un liqari'ihi, this is to give enjoyment to the person who reads it. Mushawwikun linnadhiri fihi, to raise the emotions of the one who is looking at it. La yas'amuhu al-jalis. The one who is listening to it, we should never become bored. وَلَا يَمُلُّهُ الْأَنِيسِ مُشْتَمِنٌ مِّن بَدَائِعِ الْفَوَائِدِ وَفَرَائِدِ الْقَلَائِدِ. And he says it includes unique things that have not been mentioned in other places. عَلَى مَا لَعْلَى الْمُجْتَهِدِ فِي الطَّلَبِ لَا يَظْفُرُ بِهِ فِي مَا سِوَاهُ مِنْ الْكُتُبِ. He says maybe some of the things that are mentioned in here, you will not find in any other book. You will not find in any other book. مَعَ تَضَمُّنِهِ لِجُمْلَةٍ كَثِيرَةٍ مِّنَ الْأَحَادِيثِ الْمَرْفُوعَاتِ. You know, this, it comprises a huge corpus, huge massive collection of hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wal athar al mawqufat, and other narrations from the sahaba and tabi'in, wal asrar al mudaa fi kathir min al ayat, and also I'm going to be describing the secrets mentioned in the verses that are related to Jannah. Wal nukat al badi'at wa idah kathir min al mushkilat wa tanbih ala usul min al asma' wa sifat. إِذَا نَظَرَ فِيهِ النَّاظِرْ زَادَهُ إِيمَانًا. The person who reads this book, it will increase his iman. وَجَلَّ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى كَأَنَّهُ يُشَاهِدُهَا عَيَانًا. It will provide a vivid description of Jannah as though the person is looking at it himself. It will make you witness Jannah as though you're looking at it. فهو مثير ساكن العزمات إلى روضات الجنات وباعث الهمم العليات للعيش الهني في تلك الغرفات. So this is a book that will encourage those people who have that motivation to want to eventually live in those great abodes of the hereafter. وسميته, I've given it the name حاد الأرواح إلى بلاد الأفراح. That's the name of the book. حاد الأرواح. I explained to you the word حادي, the one that spurs, the one that encourages and drives the camels. But this is not driving camels. This is driving the arwah, the souls. Unfortunately, our souls get tired just like camels get tired. Allah has given placed within the souls great ability, but we get tired by using them in the wrong things. So this is a book that will spur the souls ila biladil afrah. Afrah, plural of farah. And farah means joys and happiness. Bilad means abodes. Abodes of the joys of and happiness. This is a big to do that. فَإِنَّهُ إِسْمٌ يُطَابِقُ مُسَمَّاهُ وَلَفْظٌ يُوَافِقُ مَعْنَاهُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا قَصَدْتُ. Allah knows well what I have intended by this. وَمَا بِجَمْعِهِ وَتَأْلِيفِهِ أَرَدْتُ. And why, what intention I had to gather all of this together. فَهُوَ عِنْدَ لِسَانِ كُلِّ عَبْدٍ وَقَلْبِهِ وَهُوَ الْمُطَّلِعْ عَلَى نِيَّتِي وَكَسْبِهِ. Because he is at the tongue of every human being and his heart, meaning he's aware of it, and he is aware of everybody's niyyah and what they earn. وكان جل المقصود منه بشارة أهل السنة مما أعد الله له من الجنة. He says one of the biggest objectives of this is to give glad tidings to the people of أهل السنة والجماعة of what has been prepared for them in the Akhirah. فإنه المستحقون للبشرى. They are entitled to this glad tiding. The people of the Sunnah, they are entitled to this glad tiding in this dunya and in the Akhirah. ونعم الله عليهم باطنة وظاهرة. And the bounties of Allah upon them, both the internal and the external bounties, because هم أولياء الرسول وحزبه. They are the friends of Allah and His group. ومن خرج عن سنتي فهم أعداؤه وحربه. And anybody who comes out of the أهل السنة والجماعة, they are the enemies of Allah. They are the enemies of Allah and they are warring against Him. لا تأخذهم في نصتي سنني ملامة اللوام ولا يتركون ما صح عنه لقول أحد في الأنام. And then he speaks about the importance of the Sunnah. And then he speaks about how he's laid out the book. So he says, وَقَدْ قَسَّمْتُ الْكِتَابَ السَّبْعِينَ بَابًا. How many chapters in this book? 70 chapters. I'm just going to give you a taste of each of these today, in the sense that I'm just going to tell you some of these titles. I'm not going to go through all 70, right? The first chapter, which we are going to cover a bit of today, is the chapter on the existence of Jannah at this point in time. Does it exist, or something that will be created later? Is it just a blueprint, a plan, or does it exist today? And then after that, as I mentioned earlier, he goes through the difference of opinion as to which Jannat was Adam alayhi salam in and Hawa alayhi salam. Was it a Jannah, the Jannatul Khuld, the permanent Jannah, or was it another one? And within the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah as well, and within the Mu'tazila, there is this difference of opinion as to which is the case. That's why some have actually even said, look, we're going to abstain from giving any commitment or any opinion in this matter, because this. I think the strength lies with the fact that it is a Jannah, that the Jannah has been created. The Jannah has been created. One of the arguments against is that what's the point of creating all this Jannah and nobody's using it? I think that's a very worldly view. You know, this worldly view, as the government saying there's all these big houses, which is true in the world, is owned by all these foreigners and nobody's living in them, right? They're just sitting empty while there are people who are homeless. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has enough real estate. Right, He's already feeding people, and this is a Jannah. The whole point of creating this is that He, in fact, according to some narrations, as we will probably see later, is that He is increasing it day by day. So can you imagine what level of increase it will be when we eventually get there? This is His special pet project, in a sense. This is His project. Jannah for those, I mean, the whole world is a project of Allah, right? He didn't have to create us. He created us, but then He created Jannah and Jahannam. So He wants to make that the best. So He is continuously doing it and is ready to allow people to say, look, it's already there. And there's numerous other verses, there's numerous other evidences that we will look at. Anyway, then he has a number of discussions on that. And then he speaks about, he starts off with discussing the doors of Jannah. Right? How many doors of Jannah? How wide are these doors? How great and mighty are these doors of Jannah? What's the description of these doors? I mean, because what you have to remember is that when you have something expensive, like an expensive coat, right, then it just doesn't look good outside. Even the inside has been paid attention to. So even the lining will be special. They will be special, but nobody's going to see it. But that's what makes it even better. So that's why the whole description of these doors of Jannah, the description of the distance between one door of Jannah to the next door. Where is Jannah to start with? Where is Jannah? Seventh heaven, where is it? The keys of Jannah. How is the certificate for Jannah written out? Right. What is the only way? There's only one path to Jannah. What is that path? How do you get onto that path? Then the different degrees, the levels of Jannah, the floors of Jannah. Then he describes the highest forms of Jannah, the names of Jannah, And you can now understand where this is going. He talks about the different types of people who will enter Jannah. The first person to enter Jannah. The first person to knock on the door of Jannah. How the faqir will enter before the wealthy person. He speaks about the soil of Jannah, the mortar of Jannah. All of these things are discussed. Its palaces, its light, the whiteness of Jannah, the trees of Jannah, the smell of Jannah, the fragrance of Jannah. Anything you can think of, he's discussing it. So inshallah, the servants of Jannah, how the people in Jannah will visit each other, how they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they will interact with others. So all of that description, inshallah, will come in due course. Today, we start with the first chapter, which is about the existence of Jannah today and the proofs of that, by which we also understand some of the aspects of Jannah. So first and foremost, says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ السِّدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى. This is when the Prophet ﷺ went on his ascension, the Mi'raj. This is to prove that Jannah already exists. This is the evidence for those who say that Jannah already exists, because when the Prophet ﷺ went for his ascension, he met, and this could mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it could mean Jibreel alayhi salam. There's both these opinions in this tafsir. He met him again by the Sidratul Muntaha. That's the lot tree. Indaha Jannatul Ma'wa. That is where Jannatul Ma'wa is. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the Sidratul Muntaha. This is the lot tree. And he saw by Jannah, as is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim from Anas radiallahu anhu, says, ثُمَّ انْطَلَقَ بِي جِبْرِيلْ حَتَّى أَتَى سِدْرَةَ الْمُنْتَهَى. Then Jibreel took me until he reached Sidratul Muntaha. فَغَشِيَهَا أَلْوَانٌ لَا أَدْرِي مَا هِيَ. Suddenly all of these colors overcame it, showered over it. I don't know what they are. And then he says that they were of such a description that no human being can describe them. Then he says, ثُمَّ أُدْخِلْتُ الْجَنَّةِ. Then I was made to enter Jannah. فَإِذَا فِيهَا جَنَابِذُ اللُّؤْلُؤُ وَإِذَا تُرَابُهَا الْمِسْكِ. And there inside, there were these seats made out of pearls, and its soil or mortar was made out of musk. So clearly he's seen Jannah. That means Jannah must be existing. Again, there's another hadith in the Sahihain. It says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا مَاتَ. When any of you dies, أُرِضَ عَلَى مَقْعَدِهِ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِي. Morning and evening, they will be made to confront their final abode. So in the morning and in the evening, when we die, we'll be made to see where we're headed to. The whole point of that is, if it's good, alhamdulillah, it will make you feel even better, you'll enjoy it. Like, you know, when you have a good dream, don't you enjoy your sleep that night? Right. I wish I slept longer, right? And when you have a bad dream, it's like, alhamdulillah, I'm awake. That was just a dream. So unfortunately, this will not be a dream. That's why he says, everyone will be shown their abode in morning and evening. إِن كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. If he is a person of Jannah, then he will be shown Jannah. وَإِن كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَمِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. Otherwise, hellfire. فَيُقَالْ هَذَا مَقْعَدُكَ حَتَّى يَبْعَثَكَ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. This is your abode. You just have to wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrects you on the Day of Judgment. In the Musnad and in Sahih al-Hakim and Ibn Hibban and others, from Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, says that خَرَجْنَا مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فِي جَنَازَةِ رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ. Once we left with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for the janazah of an Ansari. He mentions a long hadith. But then in that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is describing Jannah, and he says that suddenly there will be an announcement in the heavens. أَنْ صَدَقَ عَبْدِي فَفْرُشُوهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. My servant was truthful, so now spread for him in Jannah. وَأَلْبِسُوهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. Give him something to sleep on from Jannah. Give him something to a garment of Jannah. وَافْتَحُوا لَهُ بَابًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And also open up a doorway to Jannah for him. قَالَ فَيَأْتِيهِ مِنْ رَوْحِهَا وَطِيبِهَا. And then he will suddenly, the wafts of its smell and fragrance will start coming to him. That means that it's in the grave when you feel this. So if it hasn't been created, where's that going to happen? And why should Allah just make it a dream, an abstract? Why can't He create the real thing? Another hadith in Bukhari and Muslim from Abdullah ibn Abbas, it says that in khasafati shamsu ala ahdi an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam, once the sun, there was a solar eclipse in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ash-shams wal qamar, the sun and the moon, they do not eclipse, they are a sign of the signs of Allah, they do not eclipse for the death or life of anybody, and when you do see them, then remember Allah. Then he said, Ya Rasulullah, then they said, Ya Rasulullah, Ra'aynaka tanawalta shay'in fi maqamik. This was a very, you know, while he was in this state, in this during this prayer, it's like the Prophet went forward to grab something. So the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, we saw you trying to take something from your place where you were sitting. Then we saw that you moved back. What happened? He says, oh, I was shown Jannah. Inni ra'aytul Jannah. I saw Jannah. Wa tanawaltu 'unqudan. And I tried to grab one of its branches from there. If I had managed to take it, then I would have been able to eat from it until I stay in this world. That's why there's another hadith in Bukhari from Asma bin Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during Salatul Kusuf, he said, Jannah was made close to me. Until if I had tried, I could have brought one of its branches to you. And he says, hellfire was also made close to me. And then he discusses that. And he says, فَإِذَا what I saw is a woman who was being pounced on and attacked by a cat. So he said, I asked, what's her problem? So then they said that she put this cat in captivity. She kept it imprisoned until it died out of hunger because she didn't feed it. You know the famous story. So he saw that. Neither did she feed it, neither did it send it free to be able to eat from wherever it wished. So these are some of the narrations. Another one which is related in the Muwatta and the Sunan from Ka'b ibn Malik. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا نَسَمَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ طَيْرٌ تَعْلِقُ فِي شَجَرِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى يَرْجِعَهَا اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ جَسَدِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Another proof that Jannah exists right now is that he says that, you know, the souls of believers, believers become like birds. Their soul becomes like birds which go and hang themselves, suspend themselves on the trees of Jannah until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return those souls back to the bodies on the Day of Judgment. So after a person dies, this is where the soul goes of the believers. Another hadith of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna arwah shuhada, the souls of the martyrs, fi tayrin khudrin, تَعْلِكُ مِنْ ثَمَرِ الْجَنَّةِ. The souls of martyrs, they are in green birds that are by the trees of Jannah, and they will remain like that until... In another hadith of Muslim, and in the Sunan Musnad from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى الْجَنَّةَ وَالنَّارِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heaven and the hellfire, the paradise and hellfire, he sent Jibreel alayhi salam to Jannah. And he said, go and look at Jannah. Just go and check it out. And what I have prepared for its inhabitants in it. So he went, he looked at it. And he looked at every beautiful, description of Jannah and what had been prepared. And he came back and he said, وَعِزَّتُكْ لَا يَسْمَعُ بِهَا أَحَدٌ إِلَّا دَخَلَهَا. He said, by your might, O Allah, by your might, anybody who hears about this is going to obviously enter it. They're obviously going to want it. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then commanded. So the Jibreel alayhi salam is actually watching this whole thing. Allah commanded that the Jannah, he issued a command, and then suddenly it was veiled by all of these difficult acts. Waking up for Fajr, fasting long nights, long days, and all of these other abstaining from haram, all of these things became the veil of Jannah. So now Jibreel alayhi salam comes back and says, وَعِزَّتُكُ لَغَدْ خَشِيتُ وَأَنْ لَا يَدْخُلَ أَحَدٌ. You've made it such now that I fear that nobody's going to enter it now. Ye kya kar diya? You know, like, how is this? Nobody's going to be able to enter it. Bichara Jibreel alayhi salam, fikr hamari, you know, he's got some fikr for us. So he's concerned. Then he sent him to hellfire and he says, go and look at hellfire and what I've prepared for the inhabitants of hellfire. He went and he looked and it was just consuming each other, and he came back and he said, by your might, you know, anybody who hears about it is not going to enter into it. They're going to try their best not to enter into it. Then Allah gave a command and then suddenly it was adorned with all these attractions, all of these desires of the world. So when Jibreel alayhi salam saw this, he saw right through, and he said, by your might, my fear now is that nobody is going to be saved from that problem. Nobody's going to be saved from hellfire. They're going to enter it. Again, Bukhari and Muslim relate another hadith from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, that اختصمت الجنة والنار. It happens. There's paradise and there's hellfire. They start arguing with each other. They had a debate. Paradise and hellfire had a debate. No, Jannah said, Ya Rabb, what's with Jannah? The poor people are going to enter. And the lowly people are going to enter Jannah. So it's worried. The hellfire said, Ya Rabbi, ma laha yadkhuluha al-jabbarun wal-mutakabbirun. The arrogant people and the proud and boastful people, they're going to enter Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Anta rahmati usibu biki man asha. You are my mercy. With you, I will be merciful. I will give my mercy to who I wish. And you, O Jahannam, my azab, my punishment. And I will punish with you who I wish. وَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُا مَلْءُهَا. Each one of them will have its full. So they're complaining about each other. We're going to have these kind of people. We're going to have these people. He says, don't worry, you'll both have your fill. Layth ibn Sa'ad relates from Muawiyah ibn Saleh, who relates from Abdul Malik ibn Bushayr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما من يوم إلا والجنة والنار يسألان. Any day, there's no day that goes past except that Jannat and Jahannam ask. Jannah says, Ya Rabbi قد طاب الثمرتي. Oh Allah, my fruits have become completely ripe. They're ready. وَاطَّرَدَتْ أَنْهَارِي. My rivers are flowing. My streams are flowing. وَاشْتَقْتُ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِي. And I have this great desire to see my friends, my inhabitants, my residences. فَعَجِّلْ إِلَيَّ بِأَهْلِي. Bring my people quickly. Bring my people quickly. And hellfire says, اشتد حري, my heat has become intense. وبعد قعري, and my depth is very distant, very far, very deep. وعظم جمري, and my flames are colossal now. فعجل إلي بأهلي, bring my inhabitants in. Hadith of Sahih Muslim, Anas رضي الله عنه says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, بينما أنا أسير في الجنة. Once in his visit of Jannah, when I was walking in Jannah, وَإِذَا بِنَهْرٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ حَافَتَاهُ قِبَابُ الدُّرِّ الْمُجَوَّفِ. قَالَ قُلْتُ مَا هَذَا يَا جِبْرِيلِ. قَالَ هَذَا الْكَوْثَرَ الَّذِي أَعْطَاكَ رَبُّكَ. فَضَرَبَ الْمَلَكُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِذَا طِينُهُ مِسْكٌ أَظْفَرَ. As the Prophet ﷺ is moving in Jannah, he says that suddenly I came upon a lake. Its sides were hollowed out pearls. That's what its banks were on the side. I said, Ya Jibreel, what is this? He said, this is the Kawthar which your Lord has given you. And then the angel, he struck it with his hand, and suddenly its mortar was made of beautiful musk. All of these ahadith, numerous ahadith, there are so many. I'm only mentioning to you a select few. Hadith of Sahih Muslim from Jabir radiallahu anhu. He says that I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying, دخلت الجنة, I entered Jannah, فرأيت فيها قصرا ودارا. I saw a palace and an abode in, and a house in there. I said, who is this for? He said, for a man of Quraysh. So, فرجوت أن أكون أنا هو. So he says, I hoped it was me. But it was said, this is for Umar ibn al-Khattab. فَلَوْلَا غَيْرَتُكَ يَا أَبَا حَفْظٍ. Now Umar ibn al-Khattab is there. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him that if it wasn't for your jealousy and your envy, then I would have entered it to look inside. قَالَ فَبَكَى عُمَرُ. Umar رضي الله عنه began to cry and he says, أَوَيُغَارُ عَلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Can anybody be jealous? Can anybody be jealous over you, Ya Rasulullah? You know, for you to have looked. He was worried that he'll see his maidens inside. That's why. So these are the ahadith. As I said, there's numerous ahadith in this regard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to further understand and benefit from the other chapters of this work. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the highest jannah, Jannatul Firdaus. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.